Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello everyone, Charles Watts here. Welcome back to Inside Arsenal. It's Tuesday. I hope the week's going well wherever you're watching or listening to this around the world. We are still in international break. The fixtures come in thick and fast tonight, and then we can all really focus on the weekend once these games are out of the way. Some Arsenal players in action tonight, notably Declan Rice, who we will talk about a little bit later on in this show. He captains England tonight in their game against Leandro Trossard's Belgium, a 50th cap for Declan Rice, so a very special moment for him. So we'll talk about him a little bit later on in the show. Got some questions and comments from you guys as well. We'll talk about, what is it, Ashley Cole, that's an interesting one, being nominated or inducted into the Premier League Hall of Fame. But we've got to talk about Manchester City as well. Going to focus on that a lot this week. Yes, the internationals are still going on, but this is such a huge game. It's such a monumental match for both teams in terms of what it could mean in the title race, that we've had our little quiet spell of last week waiting to get to this point. But I think it's certainly worth talking about Manchester City now as we build up to Sunday's game. So plenty to talk about. And I thought we'd start today, judging by how you guys have been, what you've been saying in the comments, I've pulled a lot of them together. A lot of you want to talk about Jorginho and Thomas Partey and this game on Sunday. Now, it's one of the big decisions. We spoke yesterday in the show about some of the big decisions facing Mikel Arteta when it comes to the team selection for Sunday's game. Who plays at left back? And what do you do in midfield? If Gabriel Martinelli isn't fit, who plays on the left-hand side? But that midfield is a really interesting one, isn't it, in terms of who starts out of these two. Now, Thomas Partey, we know if Thomas Partey's fully fit and he's been playing all season and he's in form, he starts at a weekend. There's no doubt about that. But he hasn't played all season. He's not fully fit. Or I think it's a safe bet to say he's not fully fit. And so you would think Jorginho is probably going to start. I think Jorginho will start. I'll be surprised if he doesn't. But plenty of you don't think he should, judging by what you guys have been saying in the comments. So we should talk about that, shall we? Now, I've put a few together here of what you guys have been saying. Phil at the top says, Jorginho is a massive risk in this game against Porto at home two or three times in the second half. The Porto midfield ran away from him and he couldn't keep up. Imagine if De Bruyne or Foden have that much space. If Jorginho plays, we need to play Rice at six or a double pivot. We can't risk Jorginho as a lone six against their attacking midfield. People may mention the home game against City, but remember they had no Rodri or De Bruyne. And then In Head K says, I'd be concerned with starting Jorginho for the reason that I felt he's yet to come up against a Rodri type that will be hounding him around all game. Georgie does so well against teams that form a mid to low block or counter-attacking sides where he excels in playing the Rodri role, ironically. But when faced with him, I worry he may not be able to be may not be as press resistant. I'd drop Rice to DM, play party next to him with Martin. I think Thomas has had enough now to regain enough fitness to play 60 minutes, and there is no reason why he shouldn't step up and start coming good this season. Whatever happens to him in the summer, he needs a big run in. And then at the bottom, Jess says, I think many have forgotten how good TP5 is, which is his fault due to injury, but his player profile is so unique and we will need him. Look at Man City home game. He literally won it for us, talking about when he came on as a substitute in that match and played the long, deep pass to Kai Havertz to set up the goal for Martinelli at the end. I don't think anyone's forgotten, Jess, how good Thomas Partey is. I think we all remember full well how good Thomas Partey is, and that's why there's so much frustration about the injuries, because if he's fit, there's barely any better midfielder in the Premier League than Thomas Partey. We saw that when he was fit for the majority of last season. He was absolutely fantastic. Barely anyone could lay a glove on him. He was that good. So I don't think anyone's really forgotten about how good he is. I think that just the frustrations of the injury have kind of clouded a lot of people's judgment, maybe, as you do point out. I think it's interesting, the sort of comments at the top there from Phil and In the Head K about Jorginho starting. And I don't agree he'd be a massive risk. I do think, though, as you've both pointed out, that Arteta would need to tinker with his tactics a bit. I agree. I don't think you'd have Jorginho playing as the sort of straight six in this game. But we've seen Arteta change things up. Was it the Liverpool game when he had Rice as a six and Jorginho was playing far sort of in the Declan Rice role next to Odegaard in that game? He switched it up. And maybe that was because of the midfield that they were going to be coming up against, and he wanted someone with more mobility at the base of that midfield in Declan Rice. And that could well be exactly what he does again at the weekend. For me, you could see it as that double pivot that we've seen at times this season as well, with Jorginho and Rice playing basically next to each other and Odegaard operating as a sort of straight 10. Or you could see Rice as the holding midfielder and Jorginho again deployed in a slightly more attacking role, which he played so well in that game against Liverpool when he did that. So I think you're right, absolutely right. There probably are some things to think about when it comes to getting that midfield right when you're up against the likes of De Bruyne and Rodri. But I still think Jorginho probably plays, I have to say, in this game. Now, let me know your comments again in sort of reaction to that. But I just worry with Thomas. I just don't think he's fit enough to start this match. I think he can still have a big part to play. I think he can play half an hour in the second half that I spoke about yesterday. I think the substitutes are going to be really, really important. But I just haven't seen enough for him to start. But obviously, look, that's just me and my opinion. If Arsenal are confident enough for him to start, if they've watched him in training, he got 60 minutes behind closed doors in the game against QPR. If Arteta and the coaching staff have been watching that, taking it all in, watched how he's trained all week, well, for the past fortnight at London Colney, and they decide to start him, then absolutely go for it, because they've obviously seen enough to suggest that he is strong enough and fit enough to start a game of this magnitude that's going to be played at this intensity. So I will absolutely back them for it. But just from what I've seen in my own eyes so far with Partey since he's come back, I'd just be a little bit worried about it. I mean, I go back to the game last season when he was clearly struggling with some sort of injury or fatigue or whatever it was in that game against City at the Etihad when City won 4-1 and basically won the title. You know, Partey couldn't get close to De Bruyne in that game. De Bruyne was just running off him. It was like Partey was running a treacle at times. It was so obvious that he was either absolutely shattered or carrying an injury. And you don't want to see something like that again this weekend. So he has to be right to play. And if he's not, then like I said, you tinker with things in midfield, you go with Jorginho, you go with Declan Rice, you do whatever you have to do tactically to get it right. But I think it's absolutely crucial, because that midfield battle is going to be key. If Arsenal lose it, then you think Man City win this game. But if Arsenal can get on top and they can just get themselves into the match in that midfield battle, then they've got every chance of going forward and hurting Manchester City, because we've seen them do it already this season. So yeah, thanks for getting in touch on those ones. And like I said, anything you want to sort of, how you want to react to what I've had to say, then do let me know in the comments below as we continue to chat to ahead of Sunday's crucial game. Right, Declan Rice, as I said at the start of the show, big night for Declan Rice today. His 50th cap for England. Pretty impressive that, given he's still just 25. He's going to captain England tonight. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see a still from the press conference I took there when he was asked about what it feels like to be England captain, and you can just see the smile on his face there, exactly what it meant. The video was really good to watch, actually. It's like you talk about players being proud of their country and everything like that, of playing for their country. You could see what it meant to Declan Rice and the honour of being England captain. So it's a huge night for him. I really hope it goes well. From a personal point of view and a purely selfish point of view, as soon as I heard that news, I was just like, oh no, this just means he's going to start. And I was really hoping he wasn't going to start this game, because he played the full match against Brazil, didn't he, on Saturday night or Friday. So it was Saturday night, wasn't it? And so I was hoping, because he played the full game against Brazil, that he might get a little bit of a night off on Tuesday night, but not going to happen. Clearly, he's going to start. Hopefully, he'll get about 60 minutes before coming off. But still, it's a huge moment for him. And that is, as I said, just purely sort of personal, selfish point of view that I was hoping he would get the time off. But he's been speaking a lot in the build-up to the game about the Ben White situation, which is understandable. He's in the press conference. He was in a room of, you know, countless journalists. And that was the story. He's the Arsenal, you know, his Arsenal teammate. So he was always going to get these questions about Ben White. I've seen people saying, oh, why has Rice spoken about this? He shouldn't have done. But it's very hard when you've, you know, all the, you know, the journalists are just firing question after question. That was always going to be the story. He did speak about it. You can see some of the quotes of what he's had to say on the screen in front of you if you're watching on YouTube. I'll read some of them out, but there's more if you want to go and find them. He says, the only thing I can say is that it's Ben's life. It's Ben's decision. We can't argue with him with what he wants to do. Of course, there's always going to be people writing stuff, having their opinions on what they think. But at the end of the day, the only thing that matters is that he thinks that this, and at this moment in time, he obviously doesn't want to play for England. I really hope he does change his mind, because I see him every day. He's such a good character. For people that don't know, such a good character, very composed, very level-headed. When he's on a football pitch, he will do anything to win. But also, I think, for England as well, he can play at centre-back, as right-back, and inverted full-back. Now, he's a really key tool that we could have. So I hope he changes his mind. Obviously, at this moment in time, he doesn't feel like he wants that. So I think that's his decision. He also said that he's going to talk to Ben White when he goes back and hopefully try and change his mind. He said that Ramsdale and Saka probably will as well. And there was more stuff discussed in that press conference about it. And like I said, I've seen people responding to it saying, oh, he should be keeping his nose out of it. But it's very hard when you're getting asked question after question in a press conference and all the journalists are looking to get the story. It is obviously White's decision, and it doesn't help. It's just sort of brought everything back into the headlines. The back pages are covered in stories now about Ben White once again. It's dragged him back into the headlines. It's not ideal for White, but this is just a story that's not really going to go away. It's going to keep being raised. I think it will probably die down a little bit after this international break, but I don't really blame Declan for talking about it and bringing it back into headlines, because I just think it was very, very difficult in this situation for him to ignore. But I certainly hope he doesn't go back and start really trying to sort of hammer Ben White and trying to get him to change his mind, because that's only going to, you'd imagine, make things a little bit difficult behind the scenes at the training ground. But I can't imagine for a second he's going to do anything like that.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Elsewhere during the international break, William Saliba looks like he might well start today for France. Certainly judging by how France have been training and setting up in training, it looks like he's going to be starting that game. Interesting what Deschamps has been saying again about William Saliba in the build-up to tonight's game for France. He says he's having a good season, but he also does things that I don't like so much. For France, he has had limited game time, but when he plays, he hasn't necessarily gone well. The hierarchy doesn't favour him at the moment, but he is here. Dea Upamecano has had game time, and perhaps William has had less. With certain players, I make sure to persevere, because it can be confidence or little blockages that can shift. Some don't have any concerns. Some need game time. William has had less game time, so that doesn't allow him to be very calm. I thought those were interesting comments for a manager to talk about a player very, very publicly. I mean, look, who am I to question Didier Deschamps at the end of the day? He's done brilliant stuff in the game. But I just, I don't know if it's been lost in translation a little bit in that, but I just think it's quite a strange thing for a manager to come out and say. You know, he talked about William not being calm when he's around the France squad, which is complete opposite, obviously, to what he's like at Arsenal, where is he just completely at ease and looks totally calm in everything that he does. But if he's not calm and he's a little bit nervous when he isn't around the French squad, I'm not sure listening to your manager say stuff like this publicly ahead of a game that you're probably going to start is going to help, because again, it's just going to have all eyes focused on what he does in that match. I just thought it was a little bit of a surprise from Deschamps. I just hope Saliba does well today. And, you know, because if something goes wrong and suddenly everyone's on his back again in France and everyone's sort of focusing on his form for the national team, you think he might come back to Arsenal ahead of that game against Man City and be a little bit nervous or feeling a bit sorry for himself. So I hope he has a really good game today. But yeah, let me know what you think of those Deschamps comments. I did think they were a little bit odd when I read them. Before we get to a couple of questions from you guys, just quick update on Harry Kane. Looks like he is going to be fit for the Arsenal game. Not a surprise. I think we were all expecting he probably was. Bayern released a statement yesterday after Kane came back from the England squad. It said, Harry Kane completed an individual training session at FC Bayern's training ground on Monday morning. The 30-year-old striker worked with the ball on the pitch alongside fitness coach Holger Bruesch. I think that's how you pronounce it. So yeah, looks like Harry Kane is certainly going to be fit for the games against Arsenal, which is still a couple of weeks away, so no great surprise there, but that's the latest update. Also seems like certainly reports coming out around the Manchester City camp is that Kyle Walker's injury is not as bad as first feared, and he could well feature in that game against Arsenal at the weekend at the Etihad. So we'll have to wait and see on that. Right, a couple of questions and comments to round things off today. Milpup here says, hey, Charles, what do you think about a 3-4-3 formation? I presume you're talking about for the Manchester City game this weekend. You've got defence, Gabriel at left centre-back, Saliba at the centre and White right-back. And then you've got midfield of Rice at left midfield, Jorginho and Partey. And then Martin Odegaard as a sort of CAM, which I imagine is the number 10. Then forwards, Saka, Jesus and Havertz as the striker. It's not something I'd want to see, I have to say, especially for a game against Manchester City. I do not want to see a formation change ahead of that match, really. Maybe a little bit of a tweak to the system, like I spoke about earlier, where if you want to play Rice and Partey, or Jorginho and Rice close together as a two, rather than, you know, one as the holder, I'll be quite up for that, because we've seen that be successful in the past. But changing the entire formation and suddenly going three at the back for a Manchester City match, I just think there's a time and place to try something like that. And the Etihad is not really the time to do it. So, no, I have to say, Milpup, not for me. I wouldn't want to see that this weekend. Joseph and Peter here are talking about Martinelli. Joseph says, this is a Martinelli match. His directness, explosive runs and one-on-one skills are much needed against the most organised team in the world. If Martinelli is not ready, then Jesus can do the job, but not Trossard. Peter says, great show, Charles. I'm not sure if I fancy Trossard and the Polish guy Kivior on the left with Jorginho. A bit boring and defensive for City. We need some devilry. What about Jesus on the left? So both of you here talking about Jesus being on the left if Martinelli is not available. Look, I wouldn't be against it by any means. I still think he'd probably go for Trossard rather than Jesus on the left. But look, if Jesus is fit and firing and Martinelli isn't in that team, then I'd have no issue seeing Jesus playing on the left-hand side on Sunday, if that is the case. But just like Joseph, I just hope Gabriel Martinelli is fit. I know there's whispers and rumours doing the rounds that he's had surgery. It's a social media rumour at the moment. I have no idea if that's true or not. I've just seen it like you have on social media. A few of you have been asking if I've heard anything. I haven't. So we'll wait and see. Hopefully that is just classic social media rumour. And he is fit, because if he is fit 100%, he starts this game for me. I think you're right, Joseph. I think the way he plays, how direct he is, the pace he's got, I think he could cause Manchester City an awful lot of problems, especially if Kyle Walker does miss out and Akanji has to move over there. So, I think Martinelli, number one. If not, then a toss of a coin, really, between Jesus and Trossard for me. But I'd certainly have no issue seeing Jesus there. And then before I go, Carlo Gunner says, hi, Charles, your thoughts on Ashley Cole being inducted into the Premier League Hall of Fame? I think the best ever left back to play in the Premier League. And as much as I hate that he left for Chelsea, I respect his career and his achievements. Yeah, so Ashley Cole, a 2024 inductee into the Premier League Hall of Fame. Absolutely deserves it. Arguably the best left back the Premier League's ever seen. Unbelievable for Arsenal. It was a joy to watch him. That left-hand side of Henri, Pires and Ashley Cole was just, you just don't get better than that. It was so, so good. And he was unbelievable. The way he left, I hated it. I think everyone... No one covered themselves in glory. I think the whole thing was a joke and a shambles. Arsenal handled it terribly. You know, losing a player like Ashley Cole for backtracking on about £5,000 a week. He was the best left back in the world and letting him basically sort of pushing him towards Chelsea. I think that was a huge failing from Arsenal's part. I think the way Cole went about it was awful. I think the way that Chelsea went about it was awful and it left a real sour taste in my mouth. And I struggled to like Ashley Cole after that. I respected him. I thought what he did for Arsenal was brilliant, but I struggled to have any respect for him. And I didn't want him to do well. I remember being in the pub in Windsor, watching the Champions League final when Chelsea won against Bayern Munich and being desperate for Ashley Cole to miss a penalty in that game. But he didn't. He scored. And that's what Ashley Cole does, because he's a big game player and he was fantastic at what he did. Penalty shootouts, the amount of penalties he took in big games and scored them. The way he played when he went up against the likes of Cristiano Ronaldo, he was just fantastic. So he 100% deserves his place in the Premier League Hall of Fame. As I said, best Premier League left back that I can remember. And he deserves it. But yeah, still doesn't mean I like him anymore, unfortunately. But certainly respect him for what he does. Right, thank you very much for your time, everyone. Appreciate it as always. I'll be back tomorrow to do it all over again. Enjoy your Tuesday and I'll speak to you soon. Bye-bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.